It's 20 years this month since the waterfront dispute pitted unions against the private stevedoring companies and the federal government in a battle over antiquated industrial relations practices. On the wharfs, much has changed since then. Many of Australia's largest ports have been privatised, and automation has led to a massive reduction in the labour force. Now there are concerns that the former government monopolies on the waterfront have turned into anti-competitive private behemoths. Matt Bevan reports.
Over the last decade, selling ports is one of the favourite ways for state and territory governments to raise cash. The ports of Melbourne, Brisbane, Darwin and Newcastle have all been sold, as has Port Botany in Sydney and Port Kembla in Wollongong in New South Wales. The sales have led to big cash windfalls for state governments, much of which has been used to fund new infrastructure projects. By and large, these privatisations have been passed without too much fuss, except for over one little point: competition. Here's Victorian opposition leader Matthew Guy back in 2015.
The coalition parties will oppose the port lease bill in the lower house.
Matthew Guy was concerned by a clause in the deal which guaranteed compensation would be paid to the new owner of the Port of Melbourne if a new container port somewhere else in Victoria was built within 70 years.
Is it realistic that government policy made in 1945 would be still relevant in the year 2015?
That deal eventually became a 15-year guarantee. But in New South Wales, a similar clause was included in the privatisation deal for Port Botany, which is leading to a tussle between private operators. Here's the chairman of the Port of Newcastle, Roy Green.
Clearly, there's a very strong economic case for a container terminal at the Port of Newcastle, but standing in the way of that is a restriction on container movements based on a fee cap above a certain level of container movements at the Port of Newcastle, which was imposed as part of the privatisation deal to maximise the sale of Port Botany in 2013.
So Port Botany was sold in 2013 with a guarantee that the Port of Newcastle, which was sold a year later, would have to pay around $1 million for every container ship they loaded and unloaded. They're allowed to handle a dozen or so container ships per year before that fee kicks in, but it is still extremely restrictive. Roy Green says this is a bad thing for a number of reasons.
For reasons at the Newcastle end, that is the further diversification of the Newcastle economy following the closure of the steelworks, and also now increasingly at the Sydney end, we're seeing huge congestion, which is only going to get worse as Port Botany's terminal expands capacity.
Research done by Deloitte Access Economics for the Port of Newcastle suggests that building a container terminal there would get 500,000 containers a year off Sydney's road and rail network, rising to double that by 2050, and deliver a boost to the state's economy. Deloitte says a lot of containers going through Port Botany are being shipped to and from parts of the state which are closer to Newcastle, so they're bypassing Newcastle and going through Sydney traffic instead, and paying tolls on Sydney roads.
Adding huge costs, by the way, to exporters and importers, farmers in Hunter and northern region of New South Wales, manufacturers, we're seeing added costs 30 to 70% per container, particularly for farmers whose grain is now containerised.
Roy Green's argument is strong, but is it enough incentive for change? The state of New South Wales was paid billions of dollars for the Port Botany sale on the condition that the new owner had a virtual monopoly on containers in the state. Additionally, the revenue modelling for the new toll roads being built in Sydney right now, the North Connects and the West Connects, relies on trucks carrying those hundreds of thousands of containers from Port Botany to pay their tolls in order to make the toll roads profitable. And New South Wales has a history of doing their best to make sure toll roads collect their dues.
Within weeks of the toll road opening in September this year, the state government was forced to admit that it had made too many compromises in negotiations with the private company which built the road. Gridlocked motorists have been outraged about the closure of surface roads and lanes under a deal to funnel traffic into the tunnel.
That's The World Today in 2005. Rod Maddock is Professor of Finance at Monash University.
Yeah, look, it's been a very standard and very unfortunate feature of a lot of these contracts that the state government, in order to boost the amount of money they get in the short run, put in these things to actually make the facilities more profitable by making them monopolies. It goes right against what happened in the 1990s where when a lot of the privatisations happened then, people said, well, the getting competition, getting lower prices for customers was the most important thing. And in this case, I mean, getting lower prices for containers into and through Sydney is clearly to the advantage of people of New South Wales. But in the short run, the government loves to get more money.
The Port of Newcastle is one of those monopolies. A couple of years ago, they were accused of anti-competitive practices by the coal mining giant Glencore after they increased the price of using the port by 40 to 60% without improving the quality of service. Port of Newcastle Chair Roy Green says this was correcting an error made by the state government.
Under public ownership, the fees were not increased in 19 years and in effect resulted in a taxpayer subsidy to coal producers for shipping their coal out of Newcastle to their export destinations.
Professor Rodney Maddock, though, says it was an example of the port acting as a monopoly.
I thought that the port was being very opportunistic in that particular case. When coal prices were very high, they were trying to figure out how to get a bit more of that pie. And so I think that they were just using their monopoly power in order to extract some rents.
Last year, the Port of Melbourne was accused of doing something similar as well. The two major stevedores at the port say privatisation has led to a massive increase in rent, which they've passed on to their customers in the form of up to an 880% increase in infrastructure fees per container, which farmers say is costing them around $32 million a year. Even the Port of Newcastle's Roy Green says privatisation has its problems.
Ultimately, what has happened in Australia is that public monopolies have been turned into private monopolies, which is a big challenge for economic regulators. If the competition regulator does not succeed in rectifying the examples where anti-competitive behaviour occurs, there will be opportunities and perhaps an obligation on the part of governments to step in.
The ACCC Chair Rod Sims says it's unfortunate.
It's extremely unfortunate when governments privatise assets to maximise revenue and do so at the cost of competition.
But it's unclear what action can be taken to remedy it.
That's Matt Bevan reporting. We did seek an interview with ACCC Chair Rod Sims, but he was unavailable.